VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. It is June the 14th. It is Flag Day. This day was designated as Flag Day by President Woodrow Wilson. The year was 1916, and he observed its observation. He urged the observation this day to give significantly expressions to our thoughtful love of America, our comprehension of this great mission of liberty and justice, for an America which no man can corrupt, no influence draw away from its ideals, no force divided against itself. Well, FDR then on Flag Day in 1942 said in part, I'm going to close by reading a prayer. God of the free, we pledge our hearts and lives together to the cause of all free mankind. Grant us victory over the tyrants who would enslave all free men and nations. Grant us patience with the deluded and pity for the betrayed. Grant us valor that shall cleanse the world of oppression and the old base doctrine that the strong must eat the weak because they are strong. Yet in today, 2021, we find our flag under continuous attack. It is scorned. It is burned. It is trampled upon. And in its wake of its prominence is competition, coming from things like gay pride flags and the Black Lives Matter flag. Also under attack is the freedom represented by the flag. Joining us today in discussion on this very issue, we welcome Debbie Wuthnow, the president of iVoterGuide and iVoterGuide.com. She has spent many years as a stay-at-home mom while organizing events for her church and community and actively engaged in information now for voters across this nation. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
You know, I was shocked. I read a story just a couple hours ago from Todd Starnes, and he told of a high school graduation ceremony at Justice High School, Fairfax, Virginia. And during the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, the students substituted the words under God with the words under Allah. Debbie, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. What does that do to you to see this action at a high school graduation in its pledge to the flag?
It shocks me. It saddens me that they're just taking and tweaking and thinking it's in their own religious interests. And it's an attack on what this nation was founded upon and what it believes in.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart, honestly.
Yeah, it really does. And again, knowing we are a Judeo-Christian nation, I mean, there's just no question our flag is under attack today. And I'd like you to share some of your observations as to what you see taking place as it relates to this attack on our flag.
Well, I had an interesting story that happened recently. I live in Austin, Texas, and I was on a staff meeting, and somebody just drove past an elementary school in downtown Austin, and they are flying the Pride flag, the LGBTQ flag, on the same pole as the Texas flag and the American flag. I was like, no, not an elementary school. And I drove down there and took a picture of it myself because I just could not believe that those were equated on the same flagpole and flying for those kids, showing them that the pride that LGBT rights is as important as the freedom and liberty that American was founded upon, or that Texas was founded upon, because Texans revere their Texan flag and all that it stands for. It shocked me that it was so blatantly being projected and taught to impressionable elementary age kids.
Yeah. You know, we think about the symbol of our flag, and yet even this month we've got President Biden who has given his full blessing for all U.S. embassies to fly this homosexual pride flag right along with the Stars and Stripes this month. And as I speak, our governor, Tony Evers of the state of Wisconsin, he has ordered the homosexual pride flag to fly above the Wisconsin state capitol. What kind of message does this portray?
Well, one message that I'm taking away from it is that elections matter. The persons making those proclamations were elected by us, the voters. And those things wouldn't be happening if we elected people who shared our biblical values, our Christian values. They would not be equating those things with the freedom and the values that America stands for. So it just shows to me the importance of those that we elect, not just of the governor and the president, but school boards that are telling these school districts to fly these flags and to have pride parades in elementary and middle schools. It's just, it's harmful to our kids and to our country and our state.
In contrast to what you observed there at that elementary school, you also had an experience overseas not long ago as it relates to the American flag. Tell us about it.
Well, I was very blessed to be able to be in on Omaha Beach in Normandy, France, for the Memorial Day ceremony back in 2018. My daughter's a history graduate, and we were taking her around to study all the World War II sites that she had studied. That was a fabulous service, not just for what happened at the end of it, but it's over an hour of reflaying. It's all the local mayors and presidents who honor those who gave their life for their liberty in France, in Europe, in World War II. And then it concludes with a flag-raising ceremony. So on Omaha Beach, the flag is always at half-mast. And only on Memorial Day, at the end of that conclusion of that ceremony, all eyes turn to the American flag, and they play taps. And that flag slowly raises up to full mast. And it was a great emotional tribute to all that this country stands for, and all those lives that were given were for liberty and were for freedom. And when I see the flag waving on the pole, I always think of that moment.
We're living, as you know, in this time of cancel culture, even canceling our history. We're tearing down statues across this land, schools that are like your, the one you observed hoisting the gay pride flag. How did we ever get to this point of such disrespect for our flag, disrespect for the very principles for what the, which that flag stands for?
Well, those who are enemies of freedom have always been active. And in the past, you know, several decades, they've just gotten extreme. They've made every little gain they make, they strive for more. And I feel like the people that are Christians are staying in their churches and they're staying in their homes and not being as aware of what's going on, and they've opened up their eyes and seen, you know, we're losing this country in a way, some of the values that we've stood upon. And it's because we've disengaged in a way that we haven't fought for the freedoms, and we've let the other side, which it has a percentage-wise, a much smaller percentage of the population in this country, but they have really been very vocal and you know, their voice is drowning out, and especially in the cancel culture. And they've even gotten to be so blatant as to cancel those who have a traditional voice.
Yeah. Now, when you talked about use the pronoun we, who define that we? Who has been asleep on the switch in this regard?
To me, we encompasses Christians. It encompasses those in leadership, even pastors who haven't taught as maybe they should of the real of all the truths that are in the Bible, so that their congregation is educated. And as Christian, you know, I spent 20 years raising my kids. I'm in my bubble of my little life as a Christian. I'm in my church and I'm in my maybe my community, but I'm not really paying attention to what's going on in the world. The other side is their world is the politics. It is the culture. And they've just been making great strides as we, as Christians and believers, have just, you know, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. I'm going to stay in my little church and my little family. And we need to get over that. We need to realize that we are here as the light to shine for a purpose, and we need to be more confident and be making our voices heard.
Is it troubling to you that this attack on our flag, is that from enemies without? I mean, we know, you know, communism is and socialism is very much in contrast to our form of government and what we believe here. But what about the attack from within? Is that not a troubling thing to understand the attack that's really coming from within against this symbol of freedom that we have for our land?
You cut out for just a second. The attack that's coming from where?
From within. I mean, we understand what's coming from without, those nations who can't stand the United States of America. But what about this attack from within that's tearing down the not only the flag, but the purpose for which it, what it represents?
The within the United States.
Yes.
It's that small percentage of people in this country who believe in socialism and believe in Marxism or don't really understand what's behind some of those Marxist groups like Black Lives Matter. And, they've been indoctrinated. And I think, honestly, a lot of it comes to the fact that the left has taken over the educational arena in the curriculums and what's been going on for the past couple decades in the schools. And kids have been indoctrinated. It certainly gets stronger when they get to the college age, and they're just out there and in their autonomous zones and making those attacks. And it's because they don't know what America stands for. They haven't been taught the history of America, and it's something that we've got to fix in the school system. And in our families and our churches, of educating them for what our values are, why it is so precious, why is America different, why do all these people want to come here if it's so bad as they claim through, critical race theory and all those other curriculums? Why do all those people want to come if we're so bad? It's if you really think about it, it doesn't make much sense, but obviously they haven't thought about it.
And it is something we do need to think about because we have people that are doing whatever they can to pierce through our borders and to come here illegally. There are all kinds of means that are being done for that reason. And if indeed we are this horrible, terrible, racist nation, why would they ever want to come here, folks? Think about that very aspect. Debbie Withnow is with us here today, president of iVoterGuide and iVoterGuide.com. You used a mantra here earlier, Debbie, that I often have heard from the president of Wisconsin Family Council, Jelaine Appling, and it's a statement that you made, elections have consequences. Share why this is so important for our listeners to realize this.
Well, if you think about it, the laws that you don't like, the shutdowns, the mandates that you don't like or do like, even rulings of, shutting down an executive order or allowing it to go forward, all of those things are done by people that were elected. That's why elections have consequences. Those actions that those people that are elected take, you gave them that power when you voted for them. And that happens at all levels, at the who elect for governor, who we elect for president, Senate and Congress, state legislature, and then even our local offices, what the mayors and the city councils do. Those people are all elected. And iVoterGuide's mission is really to help people understand that elections have consequences at all levels. And it is a Christian's stewardship responsibility to make their voice heard, to represent your values in by electing people for office. And what iVoterGuide.com's mission is to give you the tool and the information to elect people who share your values and will fight for your freedoms and your liberties. And we can talk about that more later.
And friends, we're going to take a quick break right now because we're going to delve into that further right after the break here on Crosstalk. Important issues, friends, as we consider this being Flag Day today and how this flag and what it represents is under great attack. Debbie Withnow is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We'll be back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the mammoths die?
Chris, the mammoths were thought to have died out about 10,000 years ago. And although evolutionists have admitted that early man must have seen the mammoths, more recent evidence has caused them much consternation. In the tomb of one of the pharaohs in Egypt is a drawing of men carrying ivory tusks on their shoulders. Next to them is an animal that sure looks like a mammoth, with hairy skin and a domed head, just like we see in mammoth fossils. And why not? Mammoths are a variety of the elephant kind, and two of them were on board Noah's Ark. Certainly humans knew of them, and from the earliest times have made use of their ivory. Chris, it's the back-to-Genesis view of history which makes sense out of the evidence.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, the U.S. flag is under attack. Debbie Withnow is with us here today from iVoterGuide and iVoterGuide.com and telling about their all-important mission. Debbie, so much has happened in these first 6 months of 2021, and yet I look ahead. We are 17 months away from the 2022 November elections, and there's been so much undoing and unraveling of values and so forth here across the nation. And then it's another 2 years after that before the next presidential election. As we look to the future of our nation, how critical do you see these times in which we are now, and how critical are these upcoming elections?
Well, it definitely critical times. We are in, after this presidential election, we're in a critical time where the Democrats control the federal government, basically. And conservatives are looking towards that next election where we have the opportunity to make a change. So the 2022 elections are going to be really critical for, because if you look at the Senate, it's a 50-50 split. It is on the knife's edge. The House, which, if you recall back to 2020, was supposed to be a blue wave that was going to sweep through and Democrats were going to make gains, but they didn't. They actually, Republicans made gains in 2020. So there's only a 5-8 seat difference or majority that the Democrats have. So the opportunity to take back the House and the Senate in 2022 is a very real and very important opportunity that we have before us. And in between now and then, there are local elections that are going on. And I would encourage people that those are almost even more important because the things closer to you impact you more daily in your lives.
And we're going to unpack a lot of things you just talked about here. Let's talk about these local elections, because I can hear people say, oh, it's just an alderman. It's just a county person. It's just a school board. I don't even have kids in the school system. What difference does it make? So let's talk first of all about the importance of these local elections.
Yeah, well, first of all, I guess we could talk about each one. But for school board, you know, we've heard from people who were even, you know, my kids are in private school or I homeschool my kids. Why do I care about school board? Well, the majority of America's children are in the public school system. So that is where the next generation of politicians and journalists and scientists is trained. So that will impact America in the 15 to 20 years to come. Another perspective, and maybe this is more selfish, but it will scratch your itch, is that the school boards set your property taxes. At least they do in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important for, you know, whoever gets elected there, they pass all those bond issues. And while you can vote on those bond issues, you can also vote for people who will put forth, that share your values, put on the school board that will put forth really better bond issues, maybe not quite so many bond issues. So it's real important to pay attention to those local school boards. And the cool thing is fewer people vote. I don't know if that's cool, but it's a great opportunity because fewer people vote. So every vote almost counts more because people don't understand the importance of it and they don't have the time or take the time to do the research into who would represent their values. So it's a really great opportunity is a better way to look at it.
There are also those who are pretty disenfranchised by what happened this past November and are checking out. They said, you know, we've so many instances of fraud. We see all that's happened in states like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and so forth. And say, you know, I'm just going to check out of this system. It's corrupt. My votes doesn't count. Speak to that individual who has a sentiment of that at this time.
I would approach it almost as a battlefield that has multiple fronts. So there are multiple fronts that we need to work on. One is, as Christians, God commands us to be stewards, good stewards, of all of our times, our talents, and our treasures. And as a citizen of the American Republic, one of those is your vote. So So do you want to be viewed by our Lord as a good steward by casting your vote? So that, to me, it's a stewardship. It's my obligation to make my vote heard. Another front is this election integrity or election transparency. I think we should fully support all the audits that are going on in Arizona, in Fulton County, wherever they can, because we want it easier to vote, harder to cheat. We want a good election system. Another front that potentially could be is that we need better, or we need more conservatives to serve in the polls, to have oversight, not just as a poll watcher where they're watching the counting, but as a precinct chair, as somebody who serves counting the votes and doing the signature verification and all those things that would make sure that that each legal vote gets cast. And so there's multiple fronts that we need to take place. And there's legislation. There's H.R. 1, that's the House mm-hmm. bill that was put forward. There's, you know, keeping the filibuster in place, which is really the only thing holding back some of that legislation. So being like an activist and making your voice heard to those who are serving, who are currently representing you, even if you didn't vote for them, we have to make our voice heard. There's a bunch of fronts that we need to be participative on, and we have responsibilities.
This H.R. 1 in the Senate version, S-1, the For the People Act, is anything but. It would really put into code and put into law the very types of disruptions that we saw took place this past November.
Yeah, it would codify the some of the things that we saw and didn't like mm-hmm. of, you know, extra polling, extra drop boxes, of mailing out ballots to people, of no voter ID, of make sure you don't purge the rolls and take the dead people off of the voter rolls. So all of those things that caused concerns and are, you know, was the evidence that there could have potentially been fraud would become nationally the law. So each, and then it takes the power away from each state to determine how they want to run their election. So it's a federal power grab as well as a empowering of corrupt politicians.
And by the way, this has already passed the House, and folks, mm-hmm. it's vitally important that you be in contact with your two U.S. senators as it relates to this so-called For the People Act, and a reminder of, because there's great pressure, and I'm thankful for somebody like Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who has said, you know, this is a partisan tool here that's being employed. I'm not going to vote for something that it doesn't have bipartisan support with it, but he's coming under great fire right now, Debbie.
Huge fire. Not only Manchin, but Kristen Sinema from Arizona mm-hmm. are really the two Democratic senators who are not just standing against H.R. 1, but holding firm on keeping the filibuster, which is it's one thing that we have in the Senate that it allows only bipartisan legislation to go forward, so that one party can't just sweep in their policies. It's part of why we have the Senate the way it is, and it's that one rule that's really the finger in the dike, to be honest, of stopping a bunch of progressive legislation.
And friends, a reminder that your number to the main Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121. That will take you to the main switchboard. You can ask for your senators by name or your state. They'll look them up for you. 202-224-3121, or go to senate.gov for direct numbers for them as well. Well, Debbie, for the past few years, iVoter Guide has been produced. It's been producing in-depth research as it relates to issues that Christians are concerned about. Tell us about iVoter Guide.
Well, iVoter Guide is not your normal voter guide. It is only available on the Internet. It is online. It is personalized to you. So if you go to iVoterGuide.com and enter your voting address, you will see research and evaluation of the candidates that are on just your ballot personalized to your voting address. It starts by we cover the federal candidates for all 50 states, so it is nationwide, so all the senators, all the congressmen. In the last election cycle, there were 21 states where we also covered all of the statewide candidates, not just governor, but ag commissioner, in Texas, railroad commissioner, state board of education, and in fact, state Supreme Court candidates, and then also states, Senate and state representatives. So in 2020, iVoter Guide researched over 8,000 candidates and provided that all in a personalized way online. The other thing that's unique to iVoter Guide is that it's data-driven, so it's not just how they've answered surveys. What we like to say is it's not just what a candidate says they're going to do, but what they have done. So we've gathered their campaign finance data to see who did they accept money from, who has influence over them, and who have they supported or who do they share values with. We include scorecards of legislators who've already held office, even if it's at if somebody's running from Congress and they were a state legislator. How did they vote? How did they stand up under fire for liberty, for family values, and life? And then we have endorsements, and then the candidate survey. The most unique piece is that we then have volunteer panelists across the nation, hundreds of them, who look at all that data and then assign an evaluation to each candidate, from liberal to conservative, to give the voter who doesn't have the time to read through all the what they say in their website and all the data, just wants a side-by-side comparison of the candidates. So we rate them, all 8,000 of candidates that we evaluated last year, and all available to you personalized at iVoterGuide.com.
So tell us about the team that you've put together for this.
We have a wonderful team of Christians that God has really called to this ministry. Many of them were grassroots activists. Some of them served in the state legislature, and they just understand the importance of truth and how hard it is to find truth in our current culture. And so we dig for source documents. We dig for the truth. These people read through candidates' websites and social medias to see what they've talked about, to what's important to them. They vet all of these volunteer panelists that evaluate these candidates, and we do it because we love our country and we want to restore it to biblical values.
So you must have hundreds that are doing this.
We do. We have about a paid staff of about 30 or 40. It's seasonal, obviously, as the election comes up. And then we had over 650 volunteer panelists in the last election cycle. Our vision is to expand that and to grow into even more in this coming election cycle. So we're always looking for patriots who want to just donate 10 to 12 hours of their time and help us equip their neighbors to vote wisely about the candidates on their ballot.
Okay, so let's address that person. Somebody said, you know, I'm interested, I'm engaged, we've got to do something here across our nation. I want people to be informed. Scripture, Prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If I want to volunteer, how do I get engaged with you?
Sure, great question. So you go to iVoterGuide.com. And that's the letter I and then Voter Guide. And then up at the top menu have the word ACT. And if you click on ACT, that takes you to our ACT page, gives you ways that you can engage. One of those is to volunteer as a panelist. And that will tell you a little bit more about the time commitment. It tells you about, we actually require you to be vetted, and you have a click on the link there, and you can fill out that application, which is our leadership survey. You have to provide references, which we will be calling to check up on and as we go through our vetting process. And then once you're approved as a panelist, we will train you in the methodology that iVoterGuide has. We will train you in how to use our back-end website where we gather all of our data, how to make your notes, and how to evaluate the candidates. Because we facilitate these panel meetings because we want to be accurate in our evaluations. The volunteers help us to create the evaluations, but our team, our paid staff, kind of facilitates and makes sure that a conservative rating in New York State means the same as a conservative in Wisconsin and the same as in Florida. So we want it to be consistent across the nation. And being a panelist is a great way to not only help as we evaluate candidates, but we've heard from our panelists that they then learn how to dig or how to look at other candidates on their ballot that maybe iVoterGuide didn't have the bandwidth to cover, but they know what to look for.
Again, that's iVoterGuide.com. And at the top, you'll see a little box there. When you click on that box, you'll see different categories. And the category named ACT is one that you can utilize to register to be a volunteer. We'll have some more discussion after the break as to the impact and goals of iVoterGuide for the upcoming election. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
The film, Unidentified, tells the story of two reporters tasked with getting the answers to the claims of UFO sightings. One reporter is an antagonist toward Christianity, the other, a Christian who is challenged on his beliefs.
I'm asking an honest question here, and according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life, so either you've done it or you haven't, so which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith. Heaven or hell? Answer the question. Heaven or hell?
I don't know.
But I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Be challenged by the Rich Cristiano film, Unidentified. Available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. For your copies of Unidentified, call 1-800-729-9829.
A reminder that it is Flag Day today, and our flag and what this flag represents is under great attack. As our guest here today, Debbie Withnow, has said from iVoterGuide.com, elections have consequences. And we're talking about this as they've been engaged in the past few elections and helping to get information out to voters here across this nation. Debbie, what impact has iVoterGuide had? What kind of impact have you seen this website have and in the lives of people who utilize it?
Well, the impact that we've had is, first, we had over 3.5 million voters who used iVoterGuide in the last election cycle. And from what we heard, it really gave them the confidence that they could identify candidates who shared their values, that it was a great tool to give them confidence before they voted. Because, you know, we can find information about the candidates at the top of the ticket, but the further down the ticket you go, down the ballot, it gets much harder to find that information. So iVoterGuide was very helpful to them from that perspective. And one of the things that we're able to then show is we actually are impacting elections. Because people go to iVoterGuide.com and enter their address, we're able to at least get a count of the number of voters that use the tool in specific voting or specific districts and can compare that to the winning margin. And there were 166 races where the number of iVoterGuide voters in close races where conservatives won. We had more voters than they won by. So we're helping to make a difference in conservative victories.
As we look ahead to the election of November 2022 and then 2 years after that in 2024, what is your main focus at iVoterGuide.com?
Our main focus is to expand our coverage to grow. So the 21 states where I said we evaluated candidates in 2020, we're hoping to get that up closer to 35 states where we go to the statewide and the state legislative candidates. And then the two other areas which are really a void that nobody is really providing information is in judicial candidates. There are many states that have judges that are on the ballot. Sometimes they run as partisan candidates, so they run as Republicans or Democrats. And sometimes they were judges that were appointed by a governor, and then they're on the ballot later as a retention election. Well, voters don't have any, where do they get information on those judicial candidates? And iVoterGuide has undertaken a project to research how they've ruled and evaluating them on their judicial philosophy. Mm-hmm. Even if they're just up for retention, you know, are they an originalist? Are they following the textual meaning that the founding fathers had? Are they one of those activist judges who view the Constitution as a living and breathing document and really are enacting new policy through judicial rulings, which was not what the judicial branch was created for? So expanding in the judicial and then also going into some local school board races and researching those local ballots.
So, again, this is where the need for many, 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 many more citizen volunteers are going to be important.
Yes, volunteers, support if you feel so led. We do have to have some paid staff as we go down ballot, but those volunteers are definitely a huge part of what will help us to go into more races.
Right now, there are people, too, very frustrated that when they see a number of judges on the ballot, they have no clue who they are. And so this is a tool to help them know and understand candidates for their area. There is just right now, as we see across this nation, Debbie, I've seen just a number of Christians who they feel helpless, like they're just hanging on to a wild ride at the amusement park that's ready to leave the tracks. What do you have to say to them right now?
I think that we are on a wild ride. Our nation's under attack, just as we see what's going on with the flag. But as a Christian, I take great comfort in knowing that God is in control.
Amen.
That he is not surprised by any of this, and that he has a plan. And it may be that we're nearing the end of this wild ride, and there's a few big more dips to go, but that, you know, it gives me confidence to know that he's the one in control and that he has a plan. And so truly that's what gives me hope and gives me peace.
I'd like to bring up also the aspect of prayer. How critical do you see prayer for our nation?
Huge. Absolutely huge. Prayer is how we connect with God and how we hear from God. It's how we talk to God, but more importantly, it's how he talks to us. And I've heard it said, I don't remember who said it, that prayer doesn't change God's mind, it changes us. So we as a nation need to be, a Christian nation, need to be lifting up our nation to God. The National Day of Prayer is just one day, but we need to do it every day. Mm. There is on that same ACT page where you can sign up as a panelist, we have a feature called Pray for Leaders, where you can get a daily email. It's on a two-week cycle, and it will mail you every day one of your specific legislators with their photo, their link to contact them, and their name, so that you can know who represents you all the way down to the state representative level. There's even a day where we pray for school board. It sends you a daily devotional and has a scripture, and the devotion comes from either Oswald Chambers or from Discover God, which was like written by Campus Crusade. And it's a way to connect with those who represent you, to know who they are if you don't, because most Americans don't know all of the people who represent them, but to pray for them because they have a great responsibility.
Yeah.
And we need to be lifting them up.
Indeed. Well, friends, let's open some phone lines. If you have some questions you'd like to ask Debbie Wuthernow, our guest here today, she's from iVoterGuide.com, and iVoterGuide, the president of the organization, and spent many years as a stay-at-home mom and recognized the important role of that, but putting her faith into action as well here and helping to inform the nation on these critical issues. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Maybe you're one that's been aware of iVoterGuide.com. Maybe you've never heard of it before. And we'll certainly take your questions here today on the program, 800-733-9829. I know that there are many who say, I would pray for my leaders if only I knew who they were. Well, if you sign up for their Pray for Leaders, they're going to email you on a regular basis the leader to be praying for. And that is under, one that would be on your ballot in particular for from the local races all the way up through our federal offices as well. So that's check it out, iVoterGuide.com, a tremendous tool there, Debbie, to be put into use.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it helps me personally. So I would hope it would help voters across the nation.
What is a social media ambassador?
You must be on the ACT page. Social media ambassador is just somebody who's active on social media, and we ask them to sign up for our emails or follow our Facebook page and then just share the information. Mm. It's a way of helping to spread the word to others who don't maybe share our values but aren't aware of iVoterGuide as a tool. So it's a way to be a cheerleader.
Let's begin with David calling in from Kenosha, Wisconsin. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a quick comment of encouragement. I am the flag. UCY aired that at 8 o'clock this morning, 12 noon, and I believe this afternoon. It's excellent. I am the flag, and people can Google that, encourage the veterans out there. And second, we have a cause for hope, and Lutzer in his book, I Will Not Be Silent. I will not be silent. I encourage the saints to not be silent, to speak the truth in love and get out there and be obedient to what the Father would have you do. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. And it really is a commitment, Debbie, that because the world does want to silence a Christian, does not want the Christian message to go forth. I mean, we see the cancel culture, cancel Christianity, cancel church, that is very prevalent. I mean, we see even the so-called Equality Act, where it says the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does not apply to it. We really need to have that bold commitment, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yes. Well, and if you think about it, darkness always tries to put out the light.
Yeah.
And we have to be the light. And the definition of light is just enough to dispel darkness, and it doesn't take much. So that we just have to step forward and shine that, you know, this little light of mine. Everybody do what they can do, and we'll make progress.
Let's go to Christine, our next caller. Hi, Christine. You're on the air.
Hi there. I feel like every time I call, I'm in the same vein, but I feel like the church is so reticent to be... They saying that you're too political, and when this is a war, and this is literally the cultural revolution, Maoist China, who has infiltrated on every level, long march through the institutions, how do you help your pastors and the Christians to care more about understanding that this is not political, that this is the good that God would have desire us to do?
Debbie?
Oh, I was going to say, Jim, what are you going to say to that?
Okay.
I will say that there are a bunch of groups out there that are trying to encourage pastors to stand for the truth. I would encourage you to get your pastor to connect to those groups, because they'll hear it more from pastors than they will sometimes from those of us in the pews. But they just need to you need to let them know that you want them to speak up to the truth. George Barna did a survey years ago that people in the pews wanted to hear what the Bible said about current issues. They wanted that teaching to come from the pulpit, but the pastors weren't teaching it. It could be they don't know what to say, but they weren't teaching it. So encouraging your pastor to get connected, and, you know, maybe if he's unwilling or unable, you look for a church that is, and that sends a message all in itself.
Thank you. And I know in many states there is an association such as, and I referenced earlier, a Wisconsin Family Council that has special outreach to pastors, and they're a tool, a resource to help pastors come alongside and inform on critical issues here, and that's certainly also something to be engaged with. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Maxine calling next. Hi, Maxine. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I do want to say thanks for the encouragement, because you feel like I shouldn't even bother voting anymore. Mm. So thank you for that. And I do want to say our pastor is very involved, and we're so thankful for our pastor at the Bible Baptist Church. I do live in a HUD apartment building for elderly and handicapped, and the latest thing has come down. We can have no political or religious literature in any public areas, and it is so sad. But again, but meanwhile, our pastor is coming in once a month with a meeting with whomever wants to attend. But my concern is, I have a gentleman just lives down the hall. He's a 96-year-old World War II veteran. And he gave me a flag, and I have that in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be so sad to take that flag down if that's what it comes to.
You know, Maxine, I would encourage you even to reach out to, like, Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel or another Christian legal law firm, because if they allow other things that are out there, you know, they just like equal access in the schools, make sure that you touch base with, like, a Liberty Counsel on if such action like that is required.
And actually, I have, and
okay.
They gave me a Richard Mast.
Yep.
He was very, very helpful. But the reaction here of the staff, and they're just doing what the higher-ups tell them to do,
mm-hmm.
is they've taken all things. There's no magazines, no newspapers. We can have nothing in public areas. And that is so sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, God is still working. Just yesterday, mm-hmm. we had, like, a huge crowd at our church. There are people here in this building who are getting saved.
Praise the Lord.
So, yes, so God is still working.
Amen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maxine. Thank you. Very good. We are up against a break. We're going to take the break and be back with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. And folks, again, the website, ivoterguide.com. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had a group of doctors in my television studio, and then the next day, I filmed 4 one-hour town halls with them. It was moderated by Michelle Malkin. These are medical doctors. One of them, a neurologist. She studies the brain. She went into great detail as to the reactions that she's seeing from her patients in a very short period of time. Brain bleeds, blood clots, after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. She also spoke of some of her patients that have Alzheimer's or dementia, who greatly accelerated in a negative manner after the shot. She also explained people getting the shot and being told in advance it's FDA approved. It is not. My friends, when I spent 2 days with these medical doctors who wouldn't take the shot, I was terrified at what I'm hearing. The problem is, they're being censored. Do your due diligence.
Debbie Withnow is with us here today from iVoter Guide, their website, iVoterGuide.com. We're going right back to the phone lines. Washington State. Dick, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jim. By the way, I thank you for this great program and for your guest. Rush Limbaugh had a guy on, and he came on just minutes before Rush went off the air and your program came on, and he said this. And I think he was a military man because it sounded like he maybe made the presentation. Those who respect the flag have never been presented a folded flag.
Oh, because they died for it.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for that thought here today. Our number is 800-733-9829. Again, 800-733-9829. Jim, you're our next caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for this program. There's a lot of things that are rolling through my head, but I'd like to put it down to 2 points if I can make. First, about the flag issue. I really enjoy flying the flag, which I am flying today. But I also want to say the Christians have a flag, and I've really been encouraging Christians to fly the Christian flag and make a presence, their presence known. I would like to actually declare the month of June as Christian Heritage Month and educate people on our Christian heritage. Mm. And regarding voting, it's like I'm up on the issues. I am very much engaged, but it's just like I feel like the other side cheats. And it, even with Dominion voting machines, how in the world do we get our vote to count anymore?
Hmm. Any thoughts, Debbie?
Well, I would just say back to the multi-prongs that I mentioned earlier. We need to be making sure that we're voting and voting informed, and in the background, working on legislation to audit, or legislation to make sure that the elections have integrity, making sure that these audits can go forward so that we can have a forensic audit to make sure that, try to get the system working well. You know, Dominion machines is just one aspect of some of the questionable things that happened in this last election. We would ideally like to get legislation that makes sure we have voter IDs, that we have fewer drop boxes, that we have more conservatives working in the polls. So don't get, I would discourage people from being so disheartened just by Dominion voting machines, because there are a bunch of other aspects that that we do have a means that we can make our voice heard and can still give us hope. And again, God's still in control. Hmm. So,
amen. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
And certainly to share with others the information that you glean, to share this information with others. Let's go to Jan calling next. Hi, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you both for the work you're doing there, especially today, because we've had great frustration not knowing which judges have what kind of background and what beliefs and so on. So iVoter Guide is something we're going to spread on little pieces of paper to every member of our church, and I hope everyone in the listening area will do the same, because you can hand it to somebody and they can keep it and check it out on their computer. But I want to underline the last caller's worry. Unless we're finding out what's being done to get rid of those Dominion machines, China can overturn any elections, and we are worried, and that's got to be stopped. What can be done?
Well, certainly, thank you for the call. Certainly not all states are utilizing that system, and there has been greater scrutiny on this than ever before in light of what's taking place since the November 2020 election. And there are states that are actively involved right now in voter reform laws and the whole process that's get underway. I mean, what some of the things are still continuing to be uncovered, even as it relates to the custody of the ballots and a lot of gaping holes that they're finding, and to put systems into place. So the jury is still out on this, in my opinion here, Debbie, as to the reforms that will continue to unfold as a result of what happened in November of 2020.
Well, I agree completely, and that's why I'm such a proponent of the forensic audits that are going on, because even though that audit might happen just in Arizona or in Georgia, Fulton County, they're going to expose some of the things that were going on and be enlightened or encouraged by a lot of states are passing legislation that is protecting the elections and making them fairer and harder to cheat. I know that Florida and Arkansas and Texas attempted to get some good ones passed. So there's multiple fronts. And as you said, not every state uses Dominion machines. Some of those states, could have the opportunity to maybe move to different machines. So lots of fronts we need to be working on.
I know legislators from our state of Wisconsin are down observing what's going on with the whole forensic audit. So legislators are also learning this time. So don't lose heart. Jan, thank you for the call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to encourage readers to find on Google, there is a small 8-minute video clip of Francis Scott Key and how he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. And every child and human should watch this. It talks about how every man at that battle, as the flag was bombed from the boat, ran to hold it up with their backs. They were then shot, and then another man would run, knowing that he was going to get shot. And that flag was still standing because every single one of those men ran to put their back up against it and keep it still standing, because Francis Scott Key was on a boat, and the men that were in chains underneath that had been caught by the British kept saying, "Is it still waving? Is it still waving?" And he was able to say, "Yes, it's still waving." And there was a pile of patriots holding it up, dead body-wise.
Thank you, Anne, for sharing that. And it's a vivid reminder of those who have fought, bled, and died on behalf of the freedoms that we cherish here today. And what you're doing, Debbie, you're trying to preserve those freedoms for the next generation as well.
Thank you. That is our mission and our calling. We're doing the best we can, and we appreciate more people finding iVoter Guide, using iVoter Guide, sharing iVoter Guide. On that ACT page, we have little pieces of paper, resources for your church or your neighborhood that you can pass out. So thank you so much for having me here and for just helping us do what we're doing.
Again, folks, the website is iVoterGuide.com, iVoterGuide.com. That's the letter I. And you can check it out and see about the resources and tools that are available for you. Debbie, thank you so much for your hard work, your efforts in seeking to make a difference here across our nation.
No, thanks. It was a pleasure being here.
And folks, again, Debbie Wuth now with us here today on Crosstalk, the website iVoterGuide.com. But what a important reminder for us to be praying for this nation. Some trust in horses, some in chariots, Scripture says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.